All right, we're here. We got it. Let me turn a few things off here. Bring that over. And we'll get ourselves positioned. Welcome to our office in our home. Yeah, this is how it works.
Yeah.
All right, so thank you everyone for your patience as always. Kathleen is joining us in studio tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, gotta love those updates, Doug says. Thank you, Doug, for keeping the wheels and the engines and the wings on Patch Airlines.
Helping us keep our sanity in the midst of it all.
So I get an update, and they changed the whole look. Now I have an edit screen on one side and a live screen on the other, and it has to be, you know, populated over, and then it has doesn't bother to tell me that my presets all had to be reset again. But it doesn't matter. We're here. Doesn't matter, we got it figured out.
Yep.
On the fly. Oh, by the way, there's somebody under the table I'd like.
Oh, don't draw our attention to him. We have had a
there
day.
Is. There's
with
Chance.
Him.
He has been absolutely crazy all day, and now he's finally worn out.
And so. We bought him, granted, we got it at like Dollar General, a little plastic pool, but I had been in the garden and I just left him to do whatever he was doing in the yard, and before I knew it I turned around and this little plastic pool that he had, and it's the hard plastic, he had crushed the sides with his his teeth, his jaw.
Yeah.
And that's a hard plastic. And he did it all the way around it.
Because you were ignoring
him.
Because
I was ignoring him.
You were slaving away in the garden, and he didn't like that.
No. And he kept coming around the fence wherever I was, and he's barking at me like, come out, come out. Play. And he'd bring the Frisbee with him because he wanted me to play Frisbee with him. And I'm like, no, I'm busy.
So he got revenge by
going. He got revenge by destroying his pool. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a few dollars at the Dollar General, so we'll get another one.
Yeah. But.
Yeah, we'll have to take up a collection here, a pool fund. We need funding for a pool
for our dog. We already have a second one. Remember, I bought the second one because
I'm just trying to have some fun with folks.
Yeah, no, we don't.
Anyway, we're on Patch Airlines, cruising at 144,000 feet. Does everybody have their bag of lazy chips to eat while we're flying tonight? Chance has his lazy chips. He loves this bag.
He's being pretty lazy tonight. I just hope he stays this way.
I hope he's worn out.
Yeah.
Anyway, without further ado, and ado, and ado, let's see if I can get this thing to work. We are going to do an update on, and I'm going to have to move a few things here. See what that does. Okay. Have to play with a new screen here to make things happen. So tonight's live stream is entitled An Update on the Microneedle Array Patch. Again, I love this because it is a play on words, of course, patch being the operative word. God's sense of humor. I just love the irony of it.
Mm-hmm.
You could iron your clothes with this irony. Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
I'm leaving. One more of those, I'm leaving.
Okay. Anyway, there we are. So tonight's topic is the microneedle array patch that we've talked about for a couple of years now, since March, I think it was, of 2020 when we first introduced this. Mm-hmm. And I think it's appropriate we go into a little bit of the backstory because we have new people here, and just a refresher. So we'll talk about Prosnitz and Berkeley and stuff, but we have a paper to share with you that was sent to us by Loyalty. I will not divulge his name nor his location, but he knows who he is and where he is. But he sends lots of great research to us. And today, popped into my early morning email, was this paper, this peer-reviewed, scientifically published paper that we're going to share with you tonight, because it really does update us as to the progress that is being made in this area of research, because we have said all along the final solution, the the one vaccine that will take care of everything, whatever it is that they dream up, there'll be a final solution that will be offered and promised and delivered by a microneedle array patch. So that's what we're going to cover tonight, is their latest version of that. Now all of this has been completed. All of it's already in warehouses, so to speak. I always think of, when you say that it's in the warehouses, that image from Indiana Jones at the end of the movie where the Ark of the Covenant is in a wooden crate and it's pushed by this poor old man working in this warehouse. It's pushed on a cart on this crate, and the camera pulls back and shows literally thousands upon thousands of wooden crates that it's about to just be absorbed into and lost in this warehouse, the Ark of the Covenant. And I think of a warehouse scene like that where there's just crates full of these patches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway. I'm sure they're kept well away from wherever they could, where people could not get at them. You know, we're seeing manufacturing centers burn down. You will not see their warehouses, quote unquote, burn down. No, they're too important.
So share with everybody just the remarkable backstory of how the Lord led you to the patch and the little bit of research that immediately followed, and then we really dug into it deeply, but sort of the backstory.
Well, the revelation came to me very suddenly. I think it was even before 2020.
It was.
In 2019 or maybe even 18.
I think it was 19 when you first brought it to me.
Yeah. But I had been doing some research and I came across the name of Micron, and the founder of it was Mark Prosnitz. I had also done some other research because there was a man that whose work I was reading, whose last name was also Prosnitz, out of Berkeley. Yeah. And I thought to myself, I wonder if they're related, because what the father was involved with was not too far off from what the son, you know, became well known for.
Mm-hmm.
Micron Biomedical? They had been making microneedle array patches, but they were using them at the time for cosmetic purposes, you know, to reduce wrinkles around the eyes and things of that nature. So I contacted John, I think it was John Prosnitz.
John, the father,
and
Professor
Prosnitz. By email, and I had told him what I was reading and asked if he was any relation to Mark, and he wrote me back immediately and said, "Mark is my son." I said, "Well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree." And then I began to delve into the history of microneedle array patches. And when I ever saw the phrase snake fang, it's fashioned after snake fang technology.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately the Holy Spirit said to me, "There is your mark of the beast." And at that point, COVID had not hit.
Right.
You know, to the extent that, you know, things began really rapidly being deployed. And so you and I together went deeper into this. And it was the first time that we took, that any public assimilation was made between the coming COVID vaccine being the mark of the beast. We were laughed at, we were ridiculed. We, you know, there were people that basically said, you're crazy, it's going to be a mark in the hand, it's going to be in the forehead, this is a you know, an inoculation, it's not,
and that we were heretics.
So, you know, but us had to stay true to what the Holy Spirit was telling us.
Mm-hmm.
And as we went further along with this understanding, God just opened the floodgates of confirmation after confirmation. Then he began to explain to me the abomination that causes desolation being the body, the human body, the temple of God's Holy Spirit. He brought me through all the things that Jesus had said about, you know, the temple and the body, that God would not no longer would people have to worship in a temple, because he was talking to the woman at the well, and she was talking about how her people worshiped on this mountain, but others went to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And he said, I tell you, woman, there is coming a time where people will not worship in Jerusalem or here, but they will worship God in spirit and in truth. And that's what when Jesus came, the new covenant imparted to people that communication through the Holy Spirit through the human body individually. Mm-hmm. God was after the heart. He wasn't after outward signs. He wasn't after, you know, with a clicker counting how many people showed up at the temple and how much money they gave. That's what man looks after. That wasn't what God was looking after. We know what Jesus did in the temple and the overturning of the tables. Yeah. That's what he thought of what humans had done to God's temple. And it was as if he was saying, you know, enough of this, enough of this. My Father has come and it's in a new way and we're going to worship differently. It's going to start in you. And so with the body being the temple of God's Holy Spirit and them developing technology, again, the word techne, we have said in the Greek, when you looked at it, it went back to the definition was science of the craft, sleight of hand.
Yep.
That's what techne means. And when you carry out from that definition through everything that we have been witnessing, we see how it has been a sleight of hand of Satan to try and make things look like he is God.
Mm-hmm.
And what they were inputting into the human body was synthetic, to force changes that God did not design, to force the creation of proteins, the body making proteins that God did not design.
Yep.
Thinking that it would be for one single purpose, they can take this part of the DNA and take that out and put this in, or give special instructions to messenger RNA to cause the DNA to produce certain types of proteins. But it's like when you mess with the weather. When you start playing with the weather, it causes catastrophic destruction all around the globe.
Yes, it does.
And when you take it from that realm and you bring it down now to the human body, and you inject something that is made, it was designed in the computer, the scientists and biologists take that because the computer says, and if the computer says, we all know that we're supposed to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Being facetious, but they would take it, they take what the computer AI determines after all the variables are put together, and they come up with a solution. This is the COVID vaccine. So little factory workers get together, and the little scientists run around, and the biologists and the pharmacists and everything else, and so they come up with this concoction. And they start injecting what was created in the computer. So now what they have in the vial is the image of what was created in the computer in liquid form.
Yep.
Now it's going into you.
Mm-hmm.
So the image that the computer designed is now in the human body. When it was so simple, when people got it, they got it. And like we were saying today when we were speaking to Dan in Sweden,
mm-hmm.
we were saying that to understand that instant
recognition and understanding
of that this is what God was meaning
mm-hmm.
when he said the abomination that causes desolation is what was allowed into your temple to change you, because now they don't know what the effects are going to be. Oh, they say they do, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the outworkings that are happening with people getting sick and dying from these vaccines, whether it be the first, the second, the third. My dad was dead in 6 months after the third vaccine.
Yep.
I mean, his health went down so fast.
Yep.
So, for those, the good news that we said to Dan today, and Dan needed a lot of encouragement because he said Sweden is a nation that is primarily atheist. there's a lot of people that, you know, when he speaks of Jesus Christ, he's not going to stop a crowd because people just don't listen. They're not very religious over there. And he said it's very difficult to find anyone to speak to about the things that he has come to know and understand. And I was trying to encourage him by saying that we have been speaking about the coming power of the Holy Spirit in these times, being able to do things that normally we probably wouldn't be able to do, whether it be an increase in understanding in something that you're just being introduced to. There's almost like a natural understanding of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be that, you know, we are trying to... You have your paper right there?
I have a lot of papers.
Yeah, I know, but what you were writing this afternoon with respect to what we were saying to Dan, because I just want to see what I should point
out
first.
Well, go ahead and keep talking, because there's a lot of notes here, and I have to figure out which one's which.
What I was trying to say to Dan, to encourage him, is that the power that you have now, that you don't even realize that you have within you, that it was a measure, a special measure of the Holy Spirit that was given to each and every one of you, that you had the ability to comprehend what this meant. Because it wasn't laid out in Scripture. There's nothing in Revelation that would lead you to believe that in the time, which is termed the end times, was there anything that would say, oh yeah, and there's going to be a pandemic that comes along and they're going to give you a shot in the arm and it's going to change your DNA. No, none of that. It was hidden. And now it's been opened. And God opened the understanding of his children, number one, that loved truth. Now you may be saying to yourself, I never thought I loved truth. I mean, I've lived a lie most of my life. I've believed lies most of my life. But now you have received the fullness, if you will, of understanding. And we've often said that the fullness of the Gentiles did not mean a specific number. When God says, okay, when it gets to whatever his number is, that's it. No. He's talking about a fullness of understanding. And now that you have come into this fullness of understanding because you loved the truth and you desired the truth that Jesus gave. See, you wouldn't have got that, you wouldn't have received that truth had you not loved Jesus, the Son of God, and welcomed him into your life to begin to enhance it and change it and change you ultimately. So there has been given to you a power beyond yourself. And no, you didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. But there was something in our hearts and our minds that God recognized. He was calling out to his bloodline. And it was resonating through what? The DNA. The God-given DNA that takes it back to the line of David, to the lines, the early, early lines. We were saying not all of Israel is Israel. The people that reside in Israel proper today are not the children of God. And that is a really bold statement to make. But you know what? I'm making it. They are Israelites because they were born in Israel. But that does not make them children of God. Not when I have seen what Israel is responsible for in terms of carrying out the deceptions, the greed, the power, the organized societies, secret societies. And Jesus even said to the religious leaders and political leaders of that day, you are of your father the devil. Now, am I saying that all of Israel, every single person in Israel is of the devil? No. But if Israel's claiming a rate in the 90th percentile and going on their fifth vaccine in that nation, there are very, very few people whose bloodlines are pure. And I don't care if they were born in Israel. They have no right to be able to lay claim to a birthright because they were born in a specific geographical location. I'm sorry, that doesn't make you a child of God. Examine your own heart. Examine your own activities. And you'll see. It's contrary. And there will be an accounting for that. But I know that people need to be encouraged. And I said to Dan, don't put extra burdens on yourself that you feel that you need. You know, with all the information that has come to you over these last, you know, few years, with the focus on the microneedle array patch and the mark of the beast and the delivery mechanism through the inoculation. Do not feel and put pressure on yourself that you have to know everything in terms of the science, or everything in terms of the technology, or everything about CERN or quantum mechanics. You don't. The best thing that you can do is what you've already done, and that is to have it, to have that understanding come to you through the Holy Spirit. God will take it from there. If you were able, with just a few words, or just a few images, or just one glance at one of the magazines that we sent, or listening to a specific live stream that we've had here, and it resonated with you instantaneously, that's the Holy Spirit. It's not Anthony and I. I don't profess to be a great speaker. I'm not. I don't know. I'm not able to put together the scientific explanations the way that Anthony is, but I do hear from the Holy Spirit, and I know what God has showed me. I see what He has confirmed. I work with my husband on those scientific and technological papers. I understand them. And again, that too is a gift from the Lord, because it's not an area that I went to school for. I'm just a secretary, remember? So it's something where the Holy Spirit has given an aptitude for it. He's gifted Anthony with the ability to take very complicated subject matters and streamline it for you and bring it down to a level that, you know, most people can digest. But be consoled, if you will, because I know many of us are sad because we have family members. Families are being broken over this. The division is happening. We have said before, it's the division of the wheat and the tares that God foretold of. That, you know, a man's enemies will be part of his own household. And certainly we are all, and I can say that, we are all experiencing that to some degree or another. Yeah. But God, the power that we have, and it was displayed in the moment that people realized, recognize how honorable that is. Recognize how powerful that is, that you got it. That you got that instantaneously. That the Holy Spirit was with you, that it resonated, and you recognized it. Not because we've come up with some clever new scheme that, you know, we want to mass market to millions. We don't. We're private. We maybe 1,000 on a good day. You know, also, please, I wanted to let you know something. I have to divert from that subject. Doug explained to me, when you watch this and you see the counter, it's not people watching Anthony and I, because I think that night there may have been people that were able to tune in because of the link, but that's been fixed and taken away. But that counter is everybody that's looking at this particular live streaming company. It's all the people that are looking at the different videos that they offer at that time. So it's not Anthony and I. Because we don't have that large of a platform. It's a very, we're very few in number with respect to, you know, the multitudes in the world. We're just a very small amount. But we're not here to bean count. We're not here to, God help us if we ever did, because God doesn't take lightly in his word to, you know, to counting and taking pride in how many people you have. We, when the Lord told us to go private, because there were so few, knowing that the time was coming, that there were, people weren't going to listen to sound doctrine. They were going to reject it, and they were going to become very hostile. And so he, in a sense, has saved us from that so that we wouldn't get distracted. A few have come, and a few have been let go because of some of their,
antics.
You know, yeah, in band, but very few. And so this is a, it's a really a closed, sort of a closed group.
Well, we did that for a lot of reasons, but mostly it was to protect people, mm-hmm. to provide an educational environment in which people could learn from each other, not just from you and I, mm-hmm. and then to be able to personally engage with us by email or by Skype or by phone. We had five phone conversations today. And I like to reflect in general the message, if there is a singular message that comes out of these groups of conversations on a given day. And I think what you've said already, it resonated with each individual that I spoke with, and you had a chance to share as well. And that is that inner recognition of the truth that is provided through that discernment of the Holy Spirit. You give the example of the mark of the beast, and I think this is a watershed moment for believers in their entire life, mm-hmm. that they look back retrospectively today, and I'm sure they've done it previous to today, and think about that moment when the Holy Spirit spoke to them and gave them that immediate recognition that the vaccines were delivering the mark of the beast, both the DNA biological aspect and the technological aspect, which will come with the throwing of the switch and the interface, the body, the brain computer interface, that is yet to come, that they see that perhaps as notable as their own birthday in life, if I can put it in that way, in that frame. It's a moment that none of us will forget, that recognition. And this has perpetuated the ability for people to look back at other things that have been revealed to them, other things that they have an epiphany about, other things that may be even more subtle than an overwhelming epiphany, subtle things that they just come to an understanding of, and it becomes knowledge that they're comfortable with because they know that it's something that they know. It may be a little bit of science, it may be something of the spirit that you've been sharing, some little nugget, some little kernel of knowledge where you go, yeah, as you say, it resonates with them, and they carry it. It's these little bits and pieces, these little golden nuggets, if I can call them that, that all of us are carrying with us, where we can remember, oh yeah, I finally understood that when I took it in prayer to the Lord, or I'm in my quiet time, or I'm having my constant walking conversation, as I like to describe it. And you're reading through something, whether it's scripture or scientific, you're reading through something and suddenly it clicks. And you go, I get it. Thank you, Lord. Because you don't know where that understanding could have come from except from the Holy Spirit. And you go, and for me, when that happens, I just kind of laugh. To me, it's a pleasurable moment, obviously, but it's almost humorous to me many times, mm-hmm. when these discoveries hit. And I go, okay, I get it, I got it. And it's great moments of discovery that come along.
Well, I think what has happened is there is now an increase, but it's a spiritual increase. It's really what we've been waiting for and talking about. Mm-hmm. It's here, it's now.
It is.
You don't have to wait for a switch to be for a thrown. You don't have to wait for a switch to be thrown. Not with God. He has made this available instantaneously to his children. We are operating in a power that we have right now.
Oh yeah.
And this is not the Superman S on the chest power. It's more than that. Huh. It's actually more than that.
Oh yeah.
Because once truth was activated and you recognize, as we're speaking about it tonight, you recognize that it was only your love of the truth and your relationships that you sought with God through Jesus, his son, our Savior. Yep. That everything that we ever talked about with respect to the armor of God became heightened.
Oh, yeah.
Out of truth came discernment in wisdom. We are able to discern things that the world can't. We are able to take the wisdom of God and apply it to our daily life in the way the world can't see it.
Yep.
When we look at the armor, it has increased our zeal, the cloak. It has increased our understanding and awareness of how important salvation is, the helmet. Our sense of righteousness and the things that we've been doing wrong in our life, we know we have to get right now because there's no second chance. So righteousness, that breastplate, is heavy on us now in a sense, making us aware of those things that must be corrected now. There's no waiting for them.
Mm-hmm.
When we think about, you know, the boots fitted with the gospel of peace, we have been encouraging people that because the world is different, because we are separate in a sense from the world now, though we are still here, we are spiritually set apart from them. And so we are maintaining peace with the understanding that God has given us. We're not being rude to people. We will be respectful. We will continue to operate in the manner that the Holy Spirit has given us. But there is an understanding of what we're dealing with now and how the increase and concentration of evil is so heavy in our world right now. We must walk circumspectly. And we will walk in peace. We are not looking to cause trouble with people. We are not inciting violence. We are not encouraging violent acts against people. These are the times where we are maintaining peace within our own home, within our own group of people who are of similar understanding and faith.
Yep.
That's where our peace comes from. So, I mean, when you look at all of these things that have increased in even the last 2 years, once you became aware that you are somebody who, even though you may not have recognized it in yourself, you are a lover of truth because the Holy Spirit found that in you and sought to be able to reveal these things to you that others cannot comprehend.
So let me add a little more.
And therein is the jealousy, if you will.
A little more from the conversations today. And the understanding that comes from a question that we impose upon ourselves. And I've heard this now for 2 weeks of conversations. Very common question. The question is, am I really saved? I have people asking or saying to me that they are asking themselves and asking God, am I really saved? And that's part of our normal, you know, checking. That's our normal doubt coming through. It is normal for us to question that because we want to, as hard as it can be in our natural ways, we are striving to be Christ-like, We are striving to know the truth. We're seeking it. And so we ask ourselves, we check ourselves, we check with God, we check with the Lord to make sure we're on the right track, that we're in the right frame of mind. Because we do desire, and I'm drilling down here, as I always do. I'm drilling down. Think of your heart. And I'm not saying your physical, biological heart. But God knows our heart. So we question our heart. We question our salvation. We question at the deepest depths of who we are. If we want to sort of speak of the heart and speak of the mind at the same time, if you go from your conscious level, your conscious thought, and you go to your subconscious, when you're drilling down into yourself as to who you really are, you're getting real with yourself. You are being as honest with yourself as you can be in questioning yourself. In other words, God goes to the deepest levels of our mind, the deepest levels of our heart, the deepest level of what our desires are. And He knows that deepest level. We can't fool ourselves. You said it a moment ago. There's no second chance. There's no time now in these last days to think, well, I'll address that later, or I'll get to that, or I'll take care of that. You know, that aspect in your life that you know you have to deal with. And we all have that. We all have those areas. And we probably always will until the Lord returns. But I guess another way of addressing this quandary of ourselves is, are we fooling ourselves? One of the individuals I was speaking with today related it to why he doesn't go to church anymore. And so the church is in a broader sense of the word. He was saying there are people who go to church that profess to be Christians. And they like to go to church, and they are, you know, maybe part of the leadership of the church. You know, they may be good at tithing and all those other things, and they're well respected amongst their friends in the congregation. And they think of themselves at the conscious level, the superficial level of the heart, as good Christians, because that's what they're portraying to the world, to the congregation. But when they get home, when they get quiet with themselves, when they have that moment to sit there and be truly introspective, that requires a motivation to do that.